Fred Film Radio, BFI Film Festival, London.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 BFI London Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Dane Iskander Said, who is presenting his film Interchange here at the festival. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me on the radio. Yeah.
Well, the first question is the dreaded question of, would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about the story of your film?
Yeah, I always mess this one up, but it's just because there's always backstory and there's always the real story. But anyway, it's the premise is about, we all know that tribal people believe that if you take photographs of them, they believe that their souls get trapped. So this is based on an ethnographer who traveled through Borneo sometime in 1915. This is backstory, by the way. And who took pictures of these tribal people. And these tribal people, for the last 100 years, been looking for the glass plate negatives. In the old days, it's glass plate, right? And when they find that, they do this ritual killing, where they have to release the souls and be liberated. Yeah. And basically, they just want to die. And so, but all this is set in the 21st century, today. It's set in a modern city in Southeast Asia, where a detective finds a series of murders. But what happens is that, really, it's just a journey between the forensics photographer, who gets taken in by this woman he meets, and turns out she's the shaman who's doing the murders, yeah, to release the spirit or the souls of her tribespeople who live in the city. Yeah.
Particularly because of this very rich historical context that the story uses, was that like already in the origins of the film when you first started structuring it?
I think the idea was there, and we formulated the script, because the gist of it was that I saw this photograph by the Norwegian ethnographer of these women washing themselves in a river, and it just said women washing themselves in a river, washing themselves from the evil effects of being photographed. And that became the seed of the idea, and I felt that, oh, maybe I can do something with this. Yeah. The rest of the story has developed over time. I was doing my last film, I was in Bangkok, and I had time, so about 10 days. So I kind of wrote the storyline, and it came about there. I was right in the heart of the city, and that's when it came out. And then we got a couple writers on board, because I was also doing other things. So the writers, the first writer, and then after that we brought another writer on board to actually just take it through and to the finished final draft. Yeah.
Obviously, one of the things that I need to talk about in this interview are the fantastic effects and the visuals of the film. There's some that are really iconic, I think, you know, and I've never really seen them in that way before. I can also think of a wonderful, spectacular transformation sequence that works really well. So, how did you work with the effects? Can you tell me a little bit about that side of the process?
Sure, Matt. Thank you. I'm glad you asked that question, because it's not easy, because of course much of the whole CGI industry in Malaysia is not as developed as, let's say, the West or US or Japan. But we did our best. We found a bunch of young people from X Rhythm and Hughes, who did that tiger thing in The Life of Pi. You know, they split up after that. So some of them were Malaysian. So they set up this small company called Mira Digital, and we worked with them closely hand in hand. But I also had a creature designer in the very beginning, a very young kid who just left university. And so we worked together very closely from the very beginning, the inception of the creature design, and to translate the ideas I had about essentially this man who is the totem spirit of the tribe. You know how totemic creatures from all tribes usually have an animalistic aspect to it. And so how I worked with it is that it's just very, very meticulously, because we don't have that kind of like 200 people being able to work on something, you know? And so the idea really was to go as many as... My producer even went to the jungle and took shots of the birds. It's a very rare creature. And then we kind of I built it also partly on set, because I don't like everything totally CGI. So I like to work on camera. So we did stuff on camera, and then we kind of augmented it. and via post, at post, and at the CGI level. Yeah,
that works very well. Do you like to play within the genre kind of boundaries, or is it the opposite? You know, you start off with an idea, and then you see, how can I make this horrific, you know, experience for the audience, terrifying?
I think that's a very good question, actually. There's a very fine line. I don't know how that fine line is translated, but all I can say is, I think working the genre can be also a challenge. And I look at many cinemas, you know, whether it's from Scandinavian and particularly from Korea, where, you know, we look at what a genre actually is. And then when I first had the idea, you know, as a seed, I thought, how can... Because, you know, I thought it would be interesting to make it into a kind of noir detective kind of... But it's actually stroke fantasy more than horror, you know, thriller. And so I like to play with that form because I think a lot can be done within it to see what we can actually and how we can actually transform that story. Because obviously, you know, you don't want to do genre a la Americana because they do it so well, you know. So I think it's important to inject one's own culture or tradition within that, yeah.
Because the two natures of the fantasy aspect of the story and the contemporary aspect of the story, what are the sort of challenges that come with blending the two?
Maybe because for us, it was quite easy in terms of the way it segued into one another, and I was very also conscious that I didn't really want to go anywhere near the jungle. I wanted to set it in a contemporary modern setting.
Yeah.
But it's also partly because I think it's very much how countries like Malaysia and in Southeast Asia, and I dare say probably Africa and Latin America, we live side by side. The old world, the old tribal world lives side by side with modern glass and steel buildings. I mean, and I don't mean that it's just the physicality of it. I also mean the conscious mind. I mean, people could be living in a rational world, but since then they believe in shamans and magic.
Yeah.
I mean, that is part of that duality which we live quite happily coexisting side by side. Yeah.
I see. So the identity of even a nation's that comes from history was important in this film.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because I'm aware that because we, you know, the tribe that we chose is one that comes out of Borneo. But I'm also aware that many tribes around the world believe that if you take a photograph of them, that you actually are stealing their souls. And that was just a premise. And I just thought, how to actually make it really, you know, to hone it down and say, how can you make that into something tangible, into something concrete in a film?
Yeah.
It wasn't easy, I can tell you.
Even looking at it at the material kind of filmmaking level, it's almost like, you know, the power of the photographic image.
Yes, yes. Well, there is the element of that, Matt. I'm glad you brought it up, because I think in many ways there's so many levels that the film for me is working at. And one of that is the power of the image. And what does that mean when if I can put it this way, the protagonist, Adam, actually is in a way trapped by photography because he's a forensics photographer, whereas Eva is a tribal person who believes that her soul is trapped in the photograph. Someone is trapped by and the other one is trapped in the photograph, and so that's, you know, when they get together, that's the resolution that will happen. But yes, the image is extremely important. It's almost, because you look at everything today, it's just image. It's almost as if you don't really have to, you don't need to imagine. I'll give it to you, it looks like this.
Mechanical intervention makes it look real, even though it can be abused and it can be like a power that can actually be negative and even harmful.
Absolutely, absolutely correct. And that's when I just thought, in many ways, if there is anything in this film, is the idea that the image actually, hence Adam as the character who needs a device to see beyond the camera, to really see this woman that he met. And in many ways, I think it can be a liberating thing, but it can also be something which blinds you.
Well, I'm glad we got to talk about that aspect of the story. I think I picked up on it. I was wondering whether I was wrong.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.